Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Dustin Hawkinsmith and Greg Pickle here, recapping Penn State, Michigan. As much as you may or may not want to do that right now, we're coming to you from the Labatt Blue Studio. Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Bleed blue and white, drink blue and light. We are talking Penn State, Michigan for the next half hour or so. We'll look around the Big Ten and how Michigan's rise kind of impacts things here. And look at that Big Ten West division as well. It's getting a little chaotic on that side of the league. Ask Greg will be our fourth and final quarter. Your Penn State football and recruiting questions. The winner gets a bottle of wine. I don't know if we say that enough. So let's talk, Greg. Start with the result, just in its purest sense, 42-7. Michigan holding the ball for 37-plus minutes, not yielding anything on the defensive side of the ball. Really got the game script that they needed. You know, I think it was an uphill climb no matter what for Penn State. But when you have opportunities early and you don't take advantage of them and Michigan scores points early, it's going to be a long afternoon, and that's exactly what it was.
Yeah, it was. Say it was a long afternoon, I think, is an understatement. I mean, it was just a situation for Penn State where they came into that game seemingly with one game plan and very little in mind when it came to what they were going to do when that game plan didn't work. And, of course, it didn't. I mean, the final stats are just astounding to look at in a lot of different ways. So, you know, they have to regroup. There's no question about it. I mean, and this is, again, one of those games where you come out of it and say to yourself, okay, X, Y, Z went wrong, and actually it was more like A, B. It was almost the entire alphabet of things that went wrong. And how do we fix all of them? They do a lot of that on Sunday when it comes down to breaking down, you know, the film and all that. Trace McSorley correctly said it was not going to be fun to watch that. So we'll see. But, you know, ultimately I think that for Penn State, they have a lot of things to figure out, and they have a lot of, things where they have to get – some of these defensive guys some rest. I mean, and just looking at the snap counts here, I mean, these guys played, you know, 71% of the snaps for Gibbons and Windsor. The linebackers felt like, I think, they never came off the field for the most part, and the secondary the same thing. So these guys have played over 300 snaps since the bye week. It's just not a winning formula for any team, for any defense, and they need to get a fix, because while Wisconsin's not very good, they're a team that can get you, they can sneak up on you, and if Penn State's not ready to go on Saturday, you could see a similar outcome.
So, yeah, Wisconsin's the same formula. Ball control, stay ahead of the chain, stay on the field. They're another team that ranks, I think, in the top 15 nationally in time of possession. And normally, that's not something – that's not the first stat I look at and say, oh, that's going to be trouble. But the way that Penn State is playing – so they're built – in a way that kind of inherently disregards ball control and time of possession. And that's fine when you're scoring points in bunches. So now you have this situation where they're not scoring points in bunches, not like they were in the early part of the year, certainly not like they were the last two seasons. And you still have that dynamic where your defense is on the field for way too many plays. And you add that with the fact that they're still not as deep as you want them to be. You know, you look at the defensive tackles, for example. For Robert Windsor and Kevin Gibbons to be your best guys, we knew that. But for them to be so far superior to the second unit that they play almost 50 snaps in this game.
Yeah.
Boy, it's just a problem. And that dynamic alone is what makes me a little dubious of this Wisconsin game, especially when they come out. I don't know how they're 8-point favorites in that one.
Yeah, I was surprised by that too. I was thinking more like somewhere between 4 and 6, and see if there any movement on that early in the week. Sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. But yeah, I mean, you look at Wisconsin. Well, we'll get to Wisconsin, but you're right. They are a time of possession team. There's no question about that. They are exactly number 15 in the country. So, Michigan is a little bit better in that department, but they're on the same page. There's no question about it. And at the end of the day, these guys have to, like I said, go in and diagnose what went wrong, because the offense cannot continue to put the defense in horrible situations. I mean, there were, I know that Michigan was, what, 8 of 14 on third down or something along those lines, but there were a lot of instances where the Penn State defense did get off the field and did give the offense a chance to get a spark, and what you ended up having was either next to nothing working, or the flip side was they had open shots, like the one down the sideline from Trace McSorley that flew over DeAndre Tompkins' head. It just didn't work out, so you put it all together, Dustin, and it's not terribly hard to see why this game went off the rails for Penn State, but at the end of the day, you know, it's one of those losses where you really start to evaluate, I think, a lot of things within your program.
Yeah, I think that's what is going on, you know, now Penn State 6-3. The way that they've lost games and the types of questions that fans are asking themselves make this a little bit different. I made the comparison to Michigan last year. You know, Michigan was kind of fighting for its life a little bit last year too, and then in the offseason, Jim Harbaugh was really the focal point of criticism and people wondering if he's overrated and that kind of thing. That's exactly what lies ahead for Penn State, and the question is, can they have the same type of response to that? Can they solve their problems? You know, I think their problems are a little deeper rooted than Michigan's problems as they made their turnaround from last year to this year. So there are certainly things to figure out, but I think any coach in any program hits these points where the questions being asked of them are very existential, if you want to put it that way. The narrative has a chance to either be spun in your favor or working against you. And the question is, where does Penn State go from here?
Would you have ever have guessed back in July or August or even September, Dustin, that on November 5th, Penn State would be projected to go to the Pinstripe Bowl, as Jerry Palm from CBS has projected? Yeah. I read that and I paused for a second and thought, wait a second, this team was, you know, in the conversation for the college football playoff just, you know, a month ago, and all of a sudden, it's amazing how things turn, how things change, and that's why there are so many pointed questions being asked, because it's been just a downfall. And, you know, James Franklin, he's not wrong when he said after the game that, you know, he did make an interesting point that, you know, Penn State gets blown out 2 years ago at Ann Arbor, Michigan gets blown out last year at Penn State, and then Penn State gets blown out at Ann Arbor. It's a weird sort of way that this series is going. But I think Penn State's problem is, and you're right, Michigan had it last year too, is that they're having losses elsewhere in close games, whether it's home or away. And the offense, after being so creative and so fun and so capable the last 2 years, I mean, at this point, what can you trust it to do? I mean, we'll pick the Indiana game a little bit later this week, and it's very hard at this point to you know, settle on a score, because each week it seems like you pick a score. You know, you look up on the board there. I had it, what, 40-20 for Penn State, Indiana. Last week I thought they were going to get 17 against Michigan. They're just not putting up the points like we know they are. I think Trace McSorley's playing hurt, obviously. That's no, you know, great insight, but there's no question that he is not himself. His receivers continue to let him down. They cannot get their running game going. There was a point where Miles Sanders seemed like a surefire 1,000-yard rusher now. I mean, they're going to need him to go off against Rutgers and Maryland, I think, to get that done. So it's just a lot of things have changed about this season over the last 4 weeks besides just the record book. And I think there's a lot of frustrated guys in this locker room, on this coaching staff. And the question is, what do they do this week that's different or more to get it figured out?
We're recapping Penn State Michigan here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. I want to tell you about the Keystone Sports Network RV. While we've got you, it's in partnership with GoPSURV.com. Special RV, you'll get all the benefits of staying on the GoPSURV.com lot, along with some very special extras like a catered barbecue meal from the 409 Tailgate Club guys, along with the famous 409 Tailgate Club gift box. Also included in the RV, two bottles of wine with a blue and white wine gift box, and a case of Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue light beer. To top it off, you get your Keystone Sports Network swag, a polo shirt, and a hat. To hear more about that, email Jim at info@ksnsports.net. You can also use the Contact Us button on your KSN app. While you're there, ask Greg a question. Why don't you? You can win a bottle of wine if you do. And at this rate, at this point in the season, you might be able to use that bottle of wine. You mentioned the Trace McSorley health thing. I think that was another one of the big issues that came out of this. So you know he's not 100%. And I guess my thing is, this offense's identity is just built around Trace making something happen. So now you have your quarterback who's just less capable of doing that with his legs. And there was something off, whether, you know, his drive foot, whatever. There were throws that I think he usually makes that he didn't make in this game either. So it wasn't just about mobility. I think it was just, it was about everything. In this situation, you know, a couple weeks ago, Trace got to make the decision whether he did or didn't come back in the game. So he came back in the game, and they beat Iowa. This time around, it seems like that was the case again, where it was up to Trace whether he earned the right to call his own number. Should that have been the case if it was?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That was some of none of the explanations after the game made sense on the whole musical chair act, where Tommy Stevens came in, throws the pick, then Trace McSorley comes back in, then Tommy Stevens comes back in, then Trace comes back in, then Tommy comes back in. I mean, there was no rhyme or reason for any of that, Dustin. And I think that it's another sign of confusion with his offense. I mean, I know Ricky Ronnie likes to be up in the booth. I know it has benefits. I know that there's things that really help, that really, you know, are a benefit for this team that he's up there. But there's no question that your sideline communication then suffers a hit. There's no way around it. And I have to think that was a part of it here. You know, James Franklin's talking to Ricky Ronnie. Ricky's trying to talk to, you know, Trace. He's trying to talk to Tommy Stevens. He's trying to get whatever offense he's going to have go out there ready to go from the box. There's just a lot of moving parts. And at this point, going into the Wisconsin game, Dustin, so James Franklin, the quote after, you know, after the Iowa game was, you know, James has said he had to have the full package. He had to have the full Trace McSorley. He can't turn into a pocket passer, can't turn into a pro-style quarterback. And that should have been the role, I think, at Michigan. And I'm not terribly sure that it was. But what it comes down to is, if this week, if they cannot get the full package from him, if whatever he's playing through is hindering his ability to accurately throw the ball, to get, you know, out of the pocket and move and make plays in the run game, then they're going to have to go with Tommy Stevens. There's just no way around it. This offense is not built to function without mobility. And, I mean, look, there's no question that, you know, the line had a tough game at times. There were some passes that were dropped. That's not up for debate. But, you know, ultimately, they couldn't get anything going because they faced 3rd and 9 on average. More often than not, they were on the field for 3 or 4 plays at a time, and that was it. And they were punting. So, you know, like I said, if he can't play through this, I mean, he's the toughest guy that I think many Penn State fans have seen in a long time. There's no question. But if he can't play through some of these things, or if they're limiting him that much, I think Penn State has to make the tough choice. It's hard to take Trace McSorley off the field. I agree with James Franklin 100%. But if you can't get him to do all the things he's supposed to do, then it's time to get Tommy Stevens in there until he's healthy.
I would agree with the idea that until he reaches that point where he's got the full arsenal of skills, the thing that make him so unique and so special, I think maybe you take him out for a week, take him out for 2 weeks, whatever the case might be. And in this game, you did see Tommy Stevens in a role that more resembled what a quarterback is actually going to do. Like, we've seen him in games. We didn't really see him play quarterback. And outside of that, that pick was ugly. That pick was brutal. But outside of that, I thought he kind of held his own. I want to see more of him. We'll see moving forward against Wisconsin if we do see more of him, what the approach is with the two quarterbacks. We'll talk about all that and a little bit more. We're sticking with Penn State, Michigan, recapping that game. So stick around. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. GoPSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single-game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to GoPSURV.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
409 Tailgate Club proudly introduces our tailgate wines. Like our great sauces and rubs, you'll enjoy our wines at your next cookout, tailgate, or even as a great gift for that fan of the blue and white. Speaking of blue and white, you've got to try our award-winning Sapphire Blue, made from pure blueberry juice. Or how about our Old Main Pinot Grigio and 1855 Vidal? Go to tailgatewine.com and find all our PA preferred wines. That's tailgatewine.com.